on today, we have one of the wonderful preachers. He serves here as pastor of our family ministries. He's going to break the word of life to us today. The one and only, all the way from Fort Worth, Texas. All the way. So we give God thanks for the voice and the life of Willie Wimbrey. You know, one of the things that makes Willie Wimbrey's life as drawing as it is because you can tell from his heart that he loves the Lord. And there are two things that I know that Willie Wimbrey loves. I know he loves the Lord. I know he loves his family. And then there's a third thing. He loves children. He loves seeing teenagers and young adults mature to where God wants them to be so they can be vital part, not just of the culture, but the God's culture, Christian culture. He wants to see them grow and mature. So I'm so grateful to have Willie and his family as part of the team here at One Church. So if you don't mind, give him your signature, give him your love, the one and only Mr. Willie Wimbrey.
I'm like a newbie at church because I haven't been in worship service in several months. So having a mic in front of me is a dangerous thing right now, but thank you guys for trusting me. I miss my family at home, my honey Catherine, my kids, Sienna and Asher and Legend. I'm sure they're all sitting there watching right now. And my kids aren't giving mommy a hard time at all. So I'm gonna go ahead and begin. We're still fixing some technical training for me. Mic is closer. Here we go. Obviously, I have to hit on some points of what's going on in our lives right now. And everything that's going on is really serious. But at the same time, we have a lot of great things that are going on. And before I actually deliver this message to you, I want to celebrate all of our students throughout America, but specifically those who are connected to One Church for completing another school year of 2019-2020. Yes, we celebrate all of our students and those who we missed. We apologize. We know you've done a great job. I also want to say thank you to Cynthia and Reggie Bush for putting that video together. And Alex Landrino for helping us put the finishing touches on it. Somebody's wondering, well, can you also thank all those teachers who learned how to work virtually to help these students finish school? Yes, thank you, teachers. And somebody's probably wondering, can you please thank the other teachers who were in the houses of all these kids? So thank you, parents. Thank you for what you've done. It's been a great year. And all of this means a lot for us, and it has to do with this message today as well. We, as a church, as our pastor said, we still, as Christians, must do what we are meant to do. Listen to this. This isn't just American history. This is worldwide history that our young people are experiencing, that those of us who are grown never experienced anything to this caliber. We experience large situations in our hearts and in our nation and in our world, but we've never had a shutdown internationally because of a virus where the whole entire world is aware of this virus. I mean, the Spanish flu was bad, but this coronavirus shut us down. Our kids are learning this as young people. This is amazing. They pushed through, they finished school, and they're moving on. On top of that, we have this layer of racial awareness and the social injustice specifically towards black people in America. But this is not just being protested in America, it is worldwide. worldwide. Our young people of the class of 2020, or those who've been in school for 2019 and 2020 school year, are going to be the most prepared adults we've ever seen. They have an opportunity to take this whole world to a new level. And I am excited about it. I'm excited I get to know these young people, and I'm excited that I get to see what they're going to do in the future. I am not going to sit back, and I hope other adults, we're not going to sit back and let the young people be the only ones who are matured through this process. Let that soak in. As an adult, and I hope the rest of the adults out there, we're not going to sit back and let the young people be the only ones who mature through this experience. I mean, we have a world situation going on, and as Christians, we are constantly battling the world. Now, the world is powerful. And when I say the world, I mean the views, the perspective of life from a worldly view. It's very powerful. It's very influential. It's very tempting. It's very scary. It brings the spirit of fear. And I'm not going to deny it, you guys. When these things happen, when fear sets in, one of the worst things that you probably can think about happens. Somebody out there hates you. And we're not going to hide that. It doesn't matter what your race is, what your beliefs are, what culture you're from, what country you're in. Somebody is going to hate you because they are stuck in a worldly perspective of things. You've offended them just because of who you are. You offended them not just because of who you are, but because of things you have actually done. And they cannot get over it because they have a worldly perspective. And I say this because I relate to it all so well, and so do you. All of us are affected by the worldly perspective. And right now, the pressure that's coming on us because of this COVID shutdown, because of this awareness to the social injustice towards blacks worldwide, we must be very conscious Christians. And again, I'm going to be talking to Christians through this whole message. So those of you who are not believers, welcome. And don't mean to offend you at all, but you're welcome to listen. But all of you who say you are Christians, this message is for you just as much as it is for me. Because the world is going through all these pressures right now, there's going to be some spirits that are attacking you and me. And those spirits are going to try to get us to do one thing, and that is to act like them. So once again, there are people in this world who do hate you. There are going to be more people who hate you. And what they're doing is they're giving in to the spirits of the world, and the temptation is almost contagious, like the COVID virus. It's almost contagious where you're going to want to hate back. You're going to want to hate back. And that's the spirit of the world that we're going to focus on today throughout this whole message. So every time we talk about the world, we're talking about the things and the pressures that come on us that's almost common sense for us to hate somebody. As a matter of fact, when I was growing up, I was told as a black and white man, my mother's white, my dad's black, and both of my parents told me, people are going to hate you more than they hate black people in America because a black man had a baby with a white woman. And they're going to hate you because of that. I heard that from my mom and my dad because that was their reality. That was actually a worldly view of it as well. The world's view towards blacks, and especially those who are biracial, from my parents' perspective, is saying, hey, they're going to hate you. When I received that message, the enemy's goal was to begin to build a hate in me towards people who might or might not hate me. That targeted group would be older white men of America. I was groomed to have a hatred and a distrust for them, but I had a decision to make. Do I look at it from a worldly perspective, or might there be an option for another perspective? That's where a lot of our young people are right now. They're finishing school. They see this COVID situation. They're shutting their homes. They're seeing all the videos of everything that's going on out there in the world and everything that people want to say about it. And it's beautiful, you guys. There are people who are willing to speak out now. A lot of people are not being silent anymore who could still be silent. And because of that, we have people who are trying to say the right thing. And they can't say it politically correct all the time, but at least they are trying. They are trying to say the right thing. And I'm specifically talking about people who are non-black, speaking up against the injustice towards blacks in America. I'm proud of those people who are doing that. Keep on trying, and you'll get it right. You may offend some of us. That's fine. At least you're saying something. And then on the other side, there are people who are saying things to stir up mess. We don't know if it's black people or white people. A lot of things are being said to try to keep the world's perspective at the top. Meanwhile, Christians, we're working hard to not be silent. We're working hard to speak up. We're working hard to protest. We're working hard to look at the positive, the advancements that we're going through. We're looking very hard to see how we can keep this going on and going on and going on. And a lot of us are saying, hey, our young people are going to be the ones to do this because voting is coming up. We have Chandler and Mackenzie who are able to vote. And we're going to be pushing voting like it's not a joke at all. Everybody will vote, and we will have a voice. We will make a difference. And we're excited about that. We're staying focused, you guys. What can we do to stay focused? Because tomorrow is very likely somebody's going to hate you, and you're going to find out about it. But you got to stay focused. What can we do to stay focused? Well, here at the church, again, we're celebrating accomplishments. We're staying focused on the love that helps us see with clarity, with 2020 vision, seeing things from God's perspective. That's 2020 vision. What the true battle is and what the true battle plan is through times like this. Now, the way we're going to look at this is through the lens of math. So you have a math lesson today. I know some of you guys didn't want to go to school, but you're in school. Welcome. Yay, math. And before anybody realizes that I never was a math teacher, you might realize that during this message, I taught art. I did teach a little bit about the metric system and the standard system of measuring. I taught about geometry and shapes and three-dimensional, two-dimensional shapes. But I did not teach what I'm about to tell you. A lot of times in math, you see a group of numbers, a quantity over here on the left and a quantity on the right. And in the middle, there's a symbol you put there that would be a comparison symbol. The comparison symbol can be a number of things. I'm going to talk about two of those this morning. One of them, well, three of them, I'll tell you the one I'm not going to talk about a lot is one you're most familiar with, is the equal sign. We know what equal means. And for young kids, that's the two lines that are side by side, and you have a number on both sides of it, and it'd be like 8 = 8. Or if you had two people like me, Willie Wimbury right here and another Willie Wimbury right here, the comparison symbol that would be in the middle would be that equal sign. Well, if you put Willie Wimbury right here and Pastor Mack right here, there would no longer be an equal sign. There would be a symbol that would be either greater than or less than, depending on which way you're reading it, but the greater than side of that sign would be facing not me. It would be facing Pastor Mack himself. He is greater than, it'll be like this. The greater than sign faces him. And if he switches to the other side, then that greater than sign is going to follow Pastor Mack. Because he's always greater than Willie Wimbury in stature. You're welcome. So I hope you guys understand what the greater than sign means. Now, there's another part of that I didn't mention. That's the less than. The less than, the part where the angles come together, the less than part will always face me. No matter what side I'm standing on, Pastor Mack, that less than sign will always face Willie Wimbury so that the greater than sign can face Pastor Mack. There is a little math lesson for all of you. Today, our message is titled, Is Greater Than. Is greater than. And this idea comes from 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. Dear friends, Do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and even now is already in the world. Now, know this, when we're talking about the Antichrist, we're not talking about some demon spirit monster coming to us. We're talking about the spirit of the Antichrist being against Christ. Verse 4 is our key verse. You, dear children, are from God. And have overcome them. I love that. Because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Our struggle, again, is real. And you guys, when we are dealing with the world's perspective, it's in us. It's how we see things. It's not how the world perceives us. It's how we perceive life. And that worldly perspective can be in us when we're feeling pain, when we're feeling injustice, when we're feeling like the world is coming against us. And a lot of times we feel that too many people in the world hate us, and we don't even know why. Sometimes we feel that the whole world is coming against us. Sometimes we feel like even God is not working in our favor. I mean, all of the deaths that have happened over the past 4 or 5 months from COVID and the ones that are being brought to light from injustices towards blacks, and it continues to happen, that has to make you angry. Or that has to make you sad. Or that has to make you scared. And when these types of emotions get in us, a perspective comes to our reality. God has given us aid in this so that as we develop our perspective, we do it in His way. It's very easy to say, because I'm a black man, I'm going to see it this way. It's very easy to say, because I'm from inner city, Fort Worth, I'm going to see it this way. It's very easy to say, because I've gone to a black Baptist church most of my life, I'm going to see it this way. It's very easy to say, because I've been a supporter of this political party most of my life, I'm going to see it this way. It's very easy to do that because those perspectives have already been developed by those around me. That's why it's contagious. That's why it's tempting to fall in to that same viewpoint. But we have to be careful, according to the scripture, we have to be careful to realize that there are false prophets out there. There's false prophecies out there. There's false teachings out there, which means anything against God's ways, anything against Christ. And our first point today, what God gives us is a very clear understanding that in verse 4, we are not on our own. So if you take your own way, on my own, and put it next to what God is saying in this verse, we're from God. I mean, dear children, you are from God. You are from God. I mean, you're not from God. Like, and this is me talking to myself, Willie Wimber, you're not from Fort Worth. You're not from the Wimbry family. You're not from the black race. That's not what you're from first. No, all that stuff is true, but that's not what dictates or paints your perspective on life. It's who you're from, and you have to remember who you're from. So if I look at myself, my identity, who I am, and you look at yourself too, what makes you who you are? Is it your college degrees? Is it your political party? Is it the color of your skin? Is it your age, your generation? Is it your accomplishments? I don't know. What makes you who you are? Look at that. And then put God on the other side, being from God. Are you greater because of who you are on your own? What makes you talk? What makes you love? What makes you act? Is it because of who you are on your own? Think about it. Because if that's what's happening to you, that's totally natural for you to do that. But I encourage you to fight that. Because there is a comparison symbol right in between you and yourself and everything that made you who you are and being from God. And every time, the side that should be greater is the part that's from God. As a matter of fact, when you begin to walk in that life, there are some scriptures that become more of a reality for you. And they say this, from the very beginning in Genesis 1 and 27, says, so God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. And then later on in life, after accepting Christ, 2 Corinthians 5 and 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. And then you can look at it this way. We are special, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. So this is what you can say to God in Psalms 139 and 14. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. That's me. I know that full well. So you got to have pride in who you are. The world tries to define that pride for us by telling us, look at our skin color, look at our family, look at our country, look at where we are. And that's good to have pride in those areas, but the pride that must be the biggest is God created me in his image. I am somebody. And then somebody says, well, what do I say about this? Will my enemies win, though? I mean, I can't be some humble, meek Christian person standing back being quiet. I have to fight. Will they win? Romans 8:37 says no. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And this is pretty cool. I don't know about you guys, but I grew up kind of humble, and I didn't like winning all the time. I like other people to win. So I actually will let people participate in things sometimes. Like if I'm playing a video game and I keep winning, I will let my brother play just so he can get some play time. If there's a really beautiful girl and we're teenagers, and I know the girls always like me, right, Johnny and Larry? They always like me. Sometimes I'll step to the side so they can like them. But no, seriously, though, there's a part of me that I feel like I win a lot, and I want other people to win too. So I used to be kind of ashamed of wanting to win. I didn't want to say it out loud. But the Bible tells me here that I'm not just a winner. I'm not just a conqueror. I am more than a conqueror, and I can be proud of it. I mean, we are not quiet. We are not sitting back. We are not people who are just timid and meek and try our best not to offend other people. We are conquerors. So if we win, that's good. And guess what? We are from God. So we win. If you want to think of a new name for yourself today, just remember, he says, dear children, you are from God. So what does being from God mean in these times? What does it mean? So let's go to point number two. We're going to compare my behavior, your behavior, and other people's behavior. So we say it like this. My behavior is greater than their behavior. Because in this scripture, in what we read, verse 4, says, and we have overcome them. And this scripture is directly talking about the people who are influential in our world to see the perspective wrong. You know, the ones who throw out propaganda, they have some agenda to meet, so they say things only one way. They don't tell the whole story. They say it just one way. I mean, we're all guilty of doing that. We want to get our point across. We have to be careful with that. Here in this scripture says, be careful with that. Be careful with that. You have overcome them, and you can resist that temptation or that contagion to be like them. But the temptation still is to be like them. Sometimes we say, man, if we can't beat them, we'll join them. In other words, if somebody's disrespecting me a lot and I can't make them stop, I'm going to disrespect them back. I'm going to give them back the same hate they give me. And we justify it. And not only that, our legal system will justify that sometimes. I mean, there are churches who will justify that. There's the natural human being, we will justify that. And then God says stuff that's almost directly opposite. He says, don't let them dictate what you're going to do. Let me dictate it. And we're so silly sometimes. People, let's talk about us right quick. We're so bad sometimes. We will say things like, nobody can tell me what to do. We'll say things like, I don't care what anybody says. I'm going to do it my way. And we don't realize we're just doing something that other people who look like us do. We're trying to fit in with them rather than fit in with God, because fitting in with God sometimes seems scary, seems embarrassing, seems like we're alone. And that's true. That's why our world is in the condition we're in right now. The reason we're in this turmoil right now is because Christians, think about it, our history is a bunch of Christian white people getting together saying it's a good idea to have slavery in America. Based on Christian principles, they twisted scripture. They twisted common sense just to get what they wanted. And right now, the temptation is to do the same thing. As a black man, I want to say racist things about prejudiced white people. My flesh wants to put all white people in the same boat, even though my mom is white. I still had the temptation to want to put all white people in the same boat. That's obviously the world's perspective. I want to go out and show the world how mad I am. I want to vandalize things. I want to steal things. Those things come to mind. That's nature coming up in me. But God reminds me, you have overcome that, Willie. You have overcome that. You have overcome the fear of looking like you're not supporting blacks. You have overcome the fear of looking like you support whites. I'm not afraid of that anymore. And there are a lot of Christians out there, and I'm glad our young people are almost oblivious to that fear. I'm so proud of them, so happy for them. I hope they continue to stay there. But our so-called wisdom of old people, I'm 46, so I can say old now because the 30-year-olds think that's old. So as an old person, I have wisdom, the same wisdom that a lot of Americans have, and that wisdom is built up on our experiences in life and the stories of other people's experiences. And that wisdom says we should hate back. Here's some scriptures that back up our behavior must be greater than their behavior. John chapter 16, verse 33 says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. He says, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So understanding that Jesus already overcome it means a lot, because he's in me and I'll come from him. Another scripture says, tells us, don't fall for that stuff. Don't fall for that temptation. I mean, so to all my white brothers and sisters out there, don't believe the stuff you see posted on social media where people are saying Black Lives Matter hates white people. That's not what it's about. Or everybody who says Black Lives Matter is a part of that movement. That's not true either. We are saying Black Lives Matter because that's a fact in the sentence that you're saying. It matters. Not because it's the only life that matters. It's because it hasn't been said that it does matter through our social injustice systems. So, also, to my black brothers and sisters out there and everybody else in between, do not think that every cop is bad. Do not think that every white person is bad. Do not think that everything in the system is bad. I mean, don't fall for that stuff. Those are the messages that are going out there. But this scripture right here says don't fall for that. Colossians 2 and 8. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than Christ. Resist acting like them. Verse Romans 12 and 2 says, do not conform to the pattern of this world. Just because somebody's black and I'm black, don't think that they can't be worldly. Don't automatically accept it because they look like you. And the same thing, don't automatically reject it because they don't look like you. Scripture says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So what do we do for those people who are against us? Do we just ignore them? Matthew 5, 43 through 47, Jesus says this. He says, you have heard that it was said. This is propaganda. He's talking about the propaganda out there. He says, you have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies. And not only that, he says, pray for them who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun, the sunlight, to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? In other words, are not even the Ku Klux Klan doing that? Aren't even the other racist groups doing that, just loving their own, helping their own? If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? I'm like, wow, bam, dagger. I'm like, wow, it's cutting me up, you guys. Why is it cutting me up? Because the pain is real. My anger is real. My fear is real. It's really there. So hearing this truth, at a time when I'm so vulnerable, is hard to hear. Next scripture backs it up as well. How do we stay focused on this, though? Because this hurts to hear this truth. Philippians 4 and 8 says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. So I think about positive things. It sounds so simple. So I have a question. If our behavior is bigger than their behavior, if Christians are saying, I am doing that, Willie Wimbury, I am doing that, then here's the real question. Do you know what students must do to prove they really know their math? They got to show their work. Their work must show. You want to know a real Christian in times like we're living in today? You want to know the true message from Christ? Look at their works. Your works must be shown. So every Christian out there, you want to know how the world knows that you really are a Christian? Because you got to show your work, man. You got to show your work, woman. You got to show your work, girls and boys. And we can do this. Showing our work is very difficult right now. And this goes into point three. Point three just kind of fixes it for all of us. It's undeniable that this is why all of this works. Somebody's wondering, how in the world is it possible that I can show my works and make a difference and be bigger than all this nastiness that's going on? Number three says, we got to realize that God is greater than blank. Whatever you've put in that blank, he's greater than that. Whether you accept it, whether you profess it or not, it's just true. It's just true. God is greater than anything that's in this world, anything that is around us. He says, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. And you guys, again, there's a message in our world right now for every body in the world, and in America specifically. That's a message for every black person, a message for every white person, a message for every other non-white person right now. And those messages are coming to us all kinds of ways. And I guarantee you the world's message is that you should hate too. You should hate somebody as well. You should hate, you should hate, you should write about hating, you should promote hating, you should support those who do the hating for you. But I encourage you guys to fight back by realizing and accepting that God is greater than that. God is greater than that. Again, I'm so thankful that our young people are experiencing this right now. And a lot of them not only seem oblivious to it, they are oblivious to it as far as not being able to see it on the level that a lot of adults see it. They know something's going on, but they don't know why people are crying. They don't know why people are angry. They don't even know why people are confused. What's confusing about this? It's so simple. They can't grasp it all because they haven't seen it all. They haven't experienced it all. They haven't learned it all. In time, they will. They will learn that wisdom. They will gain that wisdom. But once again, back to that wisdom thing, I pray to God that our young people never get the wisdom that my peers and I have. Because our wisdom, in so many words, pardon the language, but it's jacked up. We have received hate so much that my generation has it in a lot of songs, a lot of movies, a lot of sermons I've heard preached. We openly hate. And that wisdom I don't want our young people having. I'm praying that they stay innocent. I'm praying that the sermon that I'm preaching now and that John wrote about, that they get this in their hearts and they hear this greater than any other message they hear. I've seen people use the current situation we're in as a platform to display reverse racism. See, my black friends think it's okay to say something very racist about white people openly. I've also seen the blanket statements against white people, period. Again, against law enforcement, period. I've seen statements that look like they've been doctored by people to make it look like black people are saying stuff that they didn't say, and it appears to be coming from actually a white person. I've seen some white people say post some very foolish statements on Facebook, and I don't know why they would do that right now with the sensitivity we have against that. But I've seen some foolishness going on. But still, the Bible says I still have to be strong. I still have to be strong. I have to love, not because I have wisdom, not because I don't have the wisdom. I have to love because God is who he is. Scriptures support this by telling us who God is. In Exodus chapter 3, verse 14, God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. See, when he says I am, it's like the ultimate statement of self-sufficiency, self-existent, and immediate presence. This is a God who some of you heard the term Elohim, the putter forth. This is the mighty one who made everything come to forth. It's God, the one who was here before everything else, the one whose very existence is still a mystery to mankind because we can't figure out how eternity really works. This God, this one, he's saying, I am that God. So he said, Moses, when you go and tell people, tell them that I am God has sent you. Again, this is reiterated in the New Testament, in John chapter 8, verse 58. Jesus says it this way, very truly I tell you, Jesus answered, before Abraham was born, I am. Again, he's saying, I am that force. I am everything. Because of me, you have life. Because of me, you have the option to hate and love. Because of me, you have the freedom to be human and be whatever you want to be or to choose me. Because of me, all this is a possibility for you. And then he says it again another way in Revelations chapter 1, verse 8. He says, I am the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's saying that no matter what you can think of, no matter how big your imagination can get, no matter how creative you are, no matter what you accomplish, I'm greater than that. I'm greater than that. He says, who is and who was and who is to come? The Almighty. This God is the one. 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. So the verses we've been looking at this morning, if you went down further, as a matter of fact, read that whole chapter when you get a chance, 1 John chapter 4. It helps you have a good godly perspective of what's going on in our world right now. Verse 16, part B says, God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. I was sharing this testimony earlier with George, and I share this testimony with a lot of people throughout the year. Back in 1989, I joined church. I gave my life to Christ with some friends. We were at a church called Concord Baptist Church in Fort Worth. And I was very serious about it. I began going to church. My dad did not. My greatest enemy was my dad. He did some things to me, said some things to me that made me just hate him. At the same time, the first time in my life I'm learning to love God is the same time of my life I began to hate another human being. And I could not shake it. And everybody around me would say, that's justifiable, Willie. That makes sense why you would hate a man who's done those things. Even Christians would tell me that makes sense. It makes sense to hate somebody who's done something wrong like that. And it did. Legally, makes sense. Naturally, it made sense. And so I hated the man who helped bring me into this world. I began to struggle with that, and I began to pray, God, the Bible says to love everybody, but what can I do to love my dad? I can't even talk to him openly about things because he shuts me down. He doesn't just shut me down verbally. He'll shut me down physically. I mean, he's beat me up physically. What do I'm afraid to talk to him about any sensitive situation. I will never tell him how I feel about him. How do I deal with this? And I went from realizing that my dad wasn't the problem. It was my perspective. I had a worldly perspective that was justified and supported by those around me. And then I began to battle that one. I'm like, God, how am I supposed to change this? I know the Bible says honor your father and your mother, but I honestly do not honor this man because of his behavior, not just in the past, but in the present. See, I became a minister at the age of 18. At the age of 24, my dad came in the building and punched me in front of a group of kids I was teaching and pulled a pocket knife out on me. I can't honor that behavior. That's immaturity. That's hate towards me. How can I even call him daddy and mean it? I wanted for the years to fast forward. I was my last year of college. I wanted to get out of there. And God clearly told me, Willie, if you leave, he will never find Christ. I'm like, he's never going to find Christ. It was a hopeless situation. Anybody been there before where you see something that's just hopeless? This situation is not going to change. People are going to be the same way forever. Don't you know you can't pray for somebody without hope? As a matter of fact, some of us don't want to pray for somebody because it requires hope. We don't want to have hope that Lawrence Wimbury is going to change, and I didn't. I wanted him to feel the repercussion of me never coming back to his house again. Because he deserved it. It was justice. But God worked on me. And I sincerely prayed for him to find Jesus in his heart. That was 1989. Fast forward about 7 years. 8 years. About 1998. Not only was my dad born again, but he quit drinking. Let me do it in order. He had joined church. He had accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And we all cried when this was happening. Each time he went up, I'm like, what's he doing? He became a deacon. He began to work on stop drinking in that order. Secretly, he stopped drinking eventually. And then he started, this is what got me. Lawrence Wimbury started apologizing for things that he had done. Not every specific thing by name, but in general, just apologizing. And that's when I knew God wants every Christian not just to love your neighbors, but to love everybody. And the impossibility of that in our minds, the world doesn't see how you can do that. It doesn't make sense to do that, to hope that your enemy changes and has peace in their heart. That's not natural. But you know what? It can be done if you let God be greater than your fear. God is greater than my Lawrence Wimbury. God is greater than my daddy. And I'm here to tell you guys, God is greater than those who are in the world. He's greater than your race. He's greater than other people's racism. He's greater than COVID-19. He is greater than school challenges. He's greater than dirty politics. He's greater than propaganda. He's greater than systemic social injustice issues. He's greater than American history. He's greater than your history. He is greater than your current situation. He's greater than your fear. He's greater than your doubt. He's greater than hopelessness. He's greater than anger. He's greater than hate. He's greater than pain. And he's greater than the next social injustice that might just happen today. He's greater than any patterns of behaviors of any officers. He's greater than all that, you guys. And that can't become real in our lives and in our hearts until we say it. So I encourage you guys to repeat after me. Say, God is greater than. God is greater than.